Hey, everybody, something new and exciting for you today. Let's spice it up a little bit. What do you say? We have one of our wonderful listeners, just like you, who sent in her anonymous voice memo. Hell yes, it's our first one of these. Woof, 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 woof. An opportunity to use this podcast as a true coaching platform. So thank you so much to this anonymous, but we know who you are and we love you, listener who gave us our jumping off point for today. So let's just get right into it.
Yes, I love this. I'm stoked.
Me too.
Let's do it.
Okay, ladies, I have two burning questions that I would love some advice on. The first one is, I'm currently at a crossroads where I have one foot in my full-time career and one foot being fully self-employed as a business owner. And I want to make the jump, but I'm also very aware that wanting it and being actually legit and set up for success are two very different things. So my question is, what do I really need to have in place before going fully out on my own? Financially, legally, mentally, emotionally? And what are the non-negotiables that people don't talk about enough before quitting their day job?
This is such a great question and honestly something that so many interior designers go through. Like, it's a trajectory that is, I think, super relatable. And also, I just want to say, this is kind of unfair because we know who you are. We'll call you Marsha today, but we know who you are.
Marsha! Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
So Marsha, first of all, just because you still have another job does not mean you're not legit. I heard that little self-deprecation in there. You are totally legit and you are totally a business owner, but this is also a really fair question in terms of just wanting to feel really prepared to make a really big transition for yourself, for your family, for your life.
Yeah. So this is the hardest path, I think, the intentional business owner. I feel like it's actually easier in the sense of the accidental business owner because the decision is either I'm going to do this and succeed or I'm going to fail and go get a job. Usually there's no job already. The job went away for whatever reason. You quit, you were fired, it didn't work out, you were fed up, whatever. So I was certainly, as I've shared in earlier episodes, the accidental business owner. So I'm going to think backwards. If I had more of a controlled choice, if I had a career that I was making good money in, but I had this opportunity on the side that made me feel like my arms were kind of getting pulled off. And I feel like, assuming that's likely how you feel, I've worked with a lot of clients before who have been stuck in that rut of, do I trust myself and go for it? Or do I stay where I am because that's comfortable and kind of keep this as the side hustle? Let's dive into the specifics of the question. I guess we could start there.
Yep.
What do we legally need? You need your business legally set up. We need insurance. Likely, you can default on your workman's comp or need workman's comp if you're already having assistance, if you're hiring direct. And you want to have some good contracts in place, you know, but people even get started without that. What do you need? You need those bones.
Yeah, true non-negotiables. Yeah.
You don't really need anything in terms of when I check all these boxes, I'm ready to do it. It just doesn't work that way.
If only it did, that would be great.
Yeah, if only it did. I think that financially, if I'm questioning, I would be doing a couple things, maybe an exercise of what money I really need to sustain myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big differentiator. The big differentiator when you go out on your own is the money is inconsistent. That's just it. And there is a little bit of panic inside of that.
Yeah.
If your lead funnel is not consistent, if you can do that or not. So in profiling just the money, I would say that's probably where I'm making a decision. I don't know if you're in a partnership with someone, maybe that's your consistent line of income and that gives the confidence for another person to go for it. Second would be maybe I'd be thinking about a decent cushion. I was always big on that. What is the actual zero of the bank account? Does that mean you're covering 3 months of expenses, 6 months of life? What does that look like so that when there is inconsistencies, and it can happen to literally anyone, or there's that unforeseen project mistake that's costly, you need those cushions. there does need to be a pot. It makes you have some semblance of security. Or when you see that number on the decline by month three, you're like, time to make a change. We got to stop the decline and just hold the line of where we are. So I would say it comes more down to finances, money. When I did it, I was 24. My grandfather was like, what's the worst that can happen? I had no kids, low bills. It's different. And then making a decision if I had two kids and I was the main person bringing in income to the household.
Yeah, the stakes are higher. The worst case scenario is worse. Of course, we completely understand that paralysis that can happen too, but you want to plan for the worst, but also expect what is really more likely. And in your case, Marsha, we know you, we know the networking you've done, the foundation that you've put in place, the pipeline that you have. And so you have to plan for the worst and be prepared and ready for the best case scenario too. What if it all goes exactly according to plan?
Yeah. Really, the preparedness is the emotional journey. And that was another aspect of this question. You've got to have tough skin. That's just what it is. The journey will harden you in great ways of learning more about yourself. You have to be ready to hustle when you go out on your own. And it's that fine line of you don't have the time to put into your own business as a side hustle to do the true necessary things to really make it evolve. But at the same time, there's that money profile where you need that consistency. And in a sense, I feel that draw when I was in Shane Rose Interiors and we were building out 40 Biz, and I wasn't fully over in 40 Biz because financially, it couldn't afford for me to be over there.
Right.
So I had to keep powering through on SRI. It was kind of like the job. The job was SRI. It wasn't really my passion. I was overselling custom products, overdoing the design work, but just had to do it until 40 Biz could afford to bring me over and I can stop doing that other thing. So I guess it is relatable. It's down to money and it's down to, are you ready to take that emotional journey? Which if you're already doing it, you already are. You already know you can. So it's really just planning, strategy. And I also know this person, and I know a lot of creatives out there who don't like to focus on the money, but it's time to focus on the money and learn the data and understand money in and money out. You have to. And that's where I would say for this particular individual would be the largest area I would be focusing on so that you have your confidence. And every business owner who wants to grow and be successful has to start becoming a little bit of a junkie for numbers to understand what's going on.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So let's keep going.
Okay, number two. Hit us with another one.
The second one is a little bit more maybe emotional. I have a very wonderful client in so many ways who has offered me ongoing work throughout the year in a partnership. At first, it felt like a dream situation. I have consistent income and steady projects, but as time is going on, I'm recognizing some red flags that have started popping up. There's some extreme emotional turmoil from this client who can be suddenly condescending. And there's been this kind of subtle shift where it feels like she sees me more as an employee, like she owns me, versus a service that she pays for. And now I'm stuck in this tension of, yes, the longevity of the income sounds great, but I'm also starting to feel anxious that I'm going to box myself in. And I'm almost scared to draw the boundaries because, up front, it's my fault. I feel like I didn't train her around my boundaries and how to respect my time or my service. So I guess my big question is, how do you weigh stability versus self-respect when you're building your business? And how do you know when a good opportunity is actually just going to be a big, expensive lesson in boundaries? Would love your thoughts, because I feel like a lot of designers end up in this situation sometimes. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. This always happens.
You knew the way it was going to go. As soon as someone says, I have a wonderful client, you're like, yeah, just get to the butt. Yeah. We know.
I mean, this is beginning journey problems. There are just so many things that if you're going to be that business owner and grow, you're going to walk through all of these things and it's totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the lessons. And you use those lessons to know things like setting the correct expectations up front and having the appropriate informational journey to support and back you, and having these outlined in letters of agreement that they're signing to and then sticking to what you say.
Every single day that goes by without the boundary set, it gets exponentially harder to set it, but worthwhile.
Yeah. Now, the boundaries are hard. I break them myself still and then catch myself doing it and kind of rein it back in, because the business is so young and you're so eager to just leap because you want the business, you want the money. But eventually, when you obtain the success, it really becomes about your peace. And so what I would say is working backwards always just requires more time and conversation. So I would say constant conversation as you continue to build this relationship with this individual is what it's going to have to be. And you're just going to have to remove the layer of guilt, because sometimes we're assuming guilt that doesn't need to be there. Business shouldn't have guilt in it. It is what it is. This is what it is. And if it doesn't work for her, she's not going to stay with you. And you're not going to be working with a client that doesn't serve you. And instead of sticking for money, we're growing and we have abundance mindset that there are other clients out there. There's going to be another client similarly that you can find that is going to buy investment properties and continue to flip that can work inside of your boundaries. But that's the difference. So I would say these kind of go hand in hand. I would be evaluating your pipeline that works. If that lady who's there who doesn't bring you peace is the variable that gives you the financial means to take that leap, maybe that's not the move. If the company that you're working for is giving you the peace and the workflow that is supplementing that isn't quite there just yet to carry everything financially that you need, then maybe you want to wait until you build a different lane or lock in your boundaries and be working with this person to see if you can control it and find your peace inside that, or maybe let it go. These are the things that maybe you're not going to work with the client at all.
Yeah, for me, it just sounds like a classic case of pros and cons. Okay, on this side, here are the pros. You have a potential affiliate referral-based relationship who you see coming to you with a consistency of jobs, with a longevity of income. Here are all the pros. You list those out. Let's talk about the cons, because some of them are not as quantifiable. Condescending tone, not loving the air and the tension in the relationship. Can you realistically let that go? That is a con that is inside of your control. I would hesitate to say I'm trading my self-respect as a business owner. That for me, I want to push back on that, because you can absolutely have your own self-respect, know the value of you and your services, stand by your invoices and your terms of service. I have clients that I don't love their methods of communication. I don't always love their communication style or tone. And I can 100% let that go, because that's them, or because I know that at the end of that Zoom call, I'm clocking out and I've been paid my rate for that time. I can provide value in that time. That's a personal question in terms of the weight of those cons, because the pros are quantifiable. Those are numbers. The cons are in your heart and soul. Difficult to really put on the scale.
Yeah. I mean, it just comes down to let go of the emotional aspect of it, because a lot of times, wouldn't you agree that people assume a tone as you're reading?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
There's a lot of assumption inside of that. But another thing I'm thinking through is, because I've been here before, where you've overgiven, you've broke the boundaries, and then you have to pull it back. And it's a little bit shocking to the other person, because now you're making change typically quickly. So other things too, if we're trying to keep that partnership flowing, but it is still disrupting your peace and she's becoming emotional because she doesn't like the changes, then you can maintain a higher level of communication by layering in an assistant and setting that expectation like, hey, I do have multiple other projects going on, but to ensure I have a higher level of communication for you, my assistant is going to be available to respond so that you can maintain your boundaries, but come up with some type of compromise.
Yeah.
But I really do think it's more conversation, less email, text, or anything like that, because there's so much assuming through the tone. And also just be very transparent, because it's a long-standing relationship. So in those instances where I've had to change boundaries, the why is what's been most important. Why I cannot be receiving business text messages to my phone, starting there, and then also getting my number and then texting after hours. The why is because I cannot help myself but get in there and switch my business brain on and want to support you. And then I have two little kids in front of me like, Mom, do you hear me? And so that's why there's a cause and effect in that relationship. And that's why I have to drop that boundary. And if we can't respect that, then I'm just going to have to block the number, because this is what I need. And these are the rules around it. Might help her and being a little bit more understanding, as opposed to coming from that business. This is just my policy. This is what it is now. More of like, I know it was this way, but as I evolve, I'm needing to rework so that your expectations are crystal clear. And I know that that might be different, and we can come to like some middle ground for where it still feels like I'm accessible to you.
Totally.
Maybe through someone else.
And you likely entered into this partnership because it was mutually beneficial to both parties. She needed you. She needed your services. You can stand on that, stand on your value, remind yourself again, this is not really an emotional conversation, but we recognize that it can feel that way. And especially going back to part one on this precipice that you're on, the stakes are higher for you and for this conversation and for this decision of how you want to handle it with this client. So we're not taking away from any of that, but going into that conversation to reset the boundaries, if you do decide this would be great for me, if it could tick off this and this and this box, if I felt like she valued me as a partner instead of an employee, okay, what does that look like in terms of putting it into practice? How can that be practiced to you through this partnership? Okay, this would work really great for me if I knew I also had, what are those XYZ things on that checklist? Draw that up for yourself. Bring that to the table, to a conversation in which you know you're bringing equal value to this partnership. And honestly, she may make the choice for you, laid out exactly as it is for what this would look like if it was successful to you and something you wanted to keep on. Is she going for it or not? And you might really surprise yourself with how far you can get in simply having that clarity around what you need and how you can actually draw that up in a way that's equally clear to both parties. She might be on her side. You know, you never know. You can't make assumptions for her. You can only have total and complete clarity for yourself.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I still work on, and I like to preface that because it's so hard to learn how to not embody someone else's emotions, assume feelings, and then have racing thoughts throughout the day thinking what someone else is thinking. It's the worst. So the overall advice on all of this is really to stop overthinking it and continue to grow the business in the direction that you're going, and it will either work or it won't. It will either ruin your peace and you'll opt out of it, or you'll figure out a way that you massage it inside of boundaries that work for you. That's just life, and that is also business, because even the longest standing partnerships will not last forever. I think about that first client that was a big client for me that was the reason I was able to really get started, because they were my one big referral funnel. They didn't last forever either. And Ricky, our accountant, always said that to me.
But they served a really great role in your success. You wouldn't have done it the same way without them.
1000%. Reason and season. You just keep walking forward in this thing, and the entire conversation really comes down to money. You're profiling money, where you're at in life, what you need to carry, what the responsibilities are, communication with your partner, and then really, what do you have? What's your pipeline? Have a cushion, because you will have those ups and downs. It takes a while until you can get some consistency. Once you can start paying for consistent assistant support, you know you have some semblance of financial security if you're only paying on for billable hours, because the backup is, sorry, someone gets fired and I just start doing the work that I have time to do. So financially, you do reach a point of stability when you fill yourself up and that's consistent, where there's spillover, you're grooving. And a lot of times you need the part-time amount of hours to carry the full-time job amount of hours that you're working as well. But reminder, that is realistically your capacity for billable hours as a business owner. because the other half of your life, especially in the beginning, do not shortchange those hours when you're on your own in the beginning, is networking like an absolute maniac, taking a million meetings, which is going to teach you how to talk about yourself, how to ask for what you need, how to follow up, how to build relationships with people and eventually partnerships that refer you business. And that's when you have, when we talk about those power five, those five buckets where leads are coming in from. And one of them is referrals. You kind of get a guaranteed one that starts revving up as you do more projects. So overall advice would be finances.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to say too, because I do feel in this industry, we have a lot of women supporting women out here. If you're in the interior designer Facebook groups, or if you have a community of other business, you say red flag client and people will always be like, fire them, get rid of them. They're not worth your time. They're not worth your energy. And I just want to be that other voice in your ear right now to say, they very well might be. Of course, decide what you can and cannot deal with. I empower you to do so. But red flag, I feel, gets thrown around a lot. And if usually we can look inward and realize that the advantage that she's taking of you came from how available you were at first, or the way that she's communicating with you because you never set the expectation that that wasn't okay. I just want to remind people, when you're in those conversations, red flag client, they did this. Can you believe it? Sometimes I can, and it can simply be reset. Like I said, with that really clear conversation, and then you allow them to fire you if they're really not willing to step up and be the kind of partner you want them to be, then it's good riddance. I'm not really a good riddance person until you've done that due diligence on your side. And that's just my two cents. Take it or leave it.
I couldn't agree more. It's just that reclarification, communication. Sometimes you're going to grow in value. The business is going to evolve. So they're either going to grow with you or they're not. Similar to us in the beginning of time.
Maybe these are projects that a junior designer takes on and you never have to speak to this person again, but you went through this little season with her to be able to get to that point where it's just recurring income that you literally can wash your hands of. You just never know.
Yeah.
Things to think about as you're weighing those pros and cons like we talked about.
Yeah. Sold a flat fee for $2,500. Learned that my design fees are actually $25,000. Friggin' see ya. Don't want to be doing this job if you don't want to be paying the growth and the fees. Someone else will. So it's also ensuring you're getting valued for what you're worth, and take that emotional piece out and just analyze for the facts that are on the table. And exactly what Evelyn said, communicate, 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 put the effort in to take accountability for why they're feeling that way. Give your whys for why things have to shift, drop the boundary and or increase the fees. They're either on the ship or they're not. And if not, there are so many other people that are out there just waiting, and you just are going to go get your feet out there and start having those conversations to go find them.
Amen to that. Marsha, you can't get over calling you that. Marsha, we appreciate you sending this in. And I really, really hope you got value from this conversation. And also everyone else, hopefully this was relatable to you, something you can still learn and think through. And also get an episode totally dedicated to your challenge. Send us the next voicemail and this could be you. We'll come up with a fun name for you as well.
Well, that's a wrap on our very first live coaching episode. If there's one key takeaway that we want you to walk away with, it's this. There isn't a perfect checklist that tells you that you're ready to go full-time in your design business. It comes down to the money, mindset, and having the emotional resilience to handle the ups and downs. You need to know your numbers, what you actually need to survive, what cushion you need to feel secure, and what your pipeline looks like.
Here's the tough love. Just stop overthinking it. Stop assuming what other people are thinking. Stop carrying guilt that doesn't need to be there. And stop letting the fear of the unknown keep you stuck. If you're already doing the work, you already know you can handle the emotional journey. Now it's time to focus on the data, build that financial cushion, and get crystal clear on what you need to make this leap. And when it comes to the difficult clients or partnerships that feel off, remember, you also have the power to reset boundaries, have those hard conversations, and decide exactly what serves you and what doesn't.
So here's your action plan for this episode. If you're on the edge of going full-time, sit down this week and profile your money. What do you actually need to cover your life expenses? What's your cushion? What's your pipeline? Get those numbers on paper so you can make a decision based on the facts, not fear. And if you're dealing with a client who's pushing your boundaries, stop avoiding the conversation. Schedule a call, share your why, reset the expectations, and let them decide if they're coming along for the ride or not. Only you have the power to protect your own peace and profit.
And if your pricing model doesn't give you the confidence to have those conversations, if you're still winging your numbers or avoiding the money talk altogether, it's time to rebuild your foundation. Your business needs systems, your pricing needs to be rooted in data, and your boundaries need to be non-negotiable. The clients who are meant to grow with you will. The ones who aren't, they've served their purpose for a season, and that's okay. There are so many other people out there waiting for exactly what you offer.
So when you're ready to stop overthinking, stop second-guessing yourself, and start building the profitable, sustainable design business that actually supports your life, take action now. Go to fordesignerbusiness.com or click the booking link in the show notes to schedule a free call with us. You are just one decision away from reaching the next level in your design business.
And if you loved today's episode, please help us reach more designers just like you by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you listen. And we also want to give a huge shout out to Marsha for taking that courageous first step and leaving us such an incredible voicemail. Your design questions, no matter how big or small, also help other designers by giving us the opportunity to coach through uncertainty and show a path forward. So take a moment right after this episode and send us your anonymous voicemail at the link in the show notes. This could be you on the next episode getting free coaching directly on this podcast. We want to hear from you, so don't be shy.
Remember, every successful business owner you admire went through a similar moment of uncertainty. The difference is that they made the decision, they took the leap, and they figured it out along the way. You already have everything you need inside of you. Now it's time to trust yourself, focus on the numbers, and go build the business you deserve.
So take action today. Protect your peace and watch what happens when you finally stop waiting for permission and start owning your worth. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.